The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's finish off this month's Reader's Digest, starting off with something that I am familiar with, having done it, Fathers of the Bride. A young woman finds a unique way to honor the many men who helped her survive her childhood. I didn't do that, though. In the summer of 2023, on a warm afternoon in Chelan, Washington, a beaming young woman named Ivy Jacobson stood ready to walk down the aisle toward her husband-to-be. Her blonde hair was in a loose bun, and her long white gown was simple and sleek, with just a hint of a ruffle at the back. Waiting for Ivy at the altar was the love of her life, Tristan Jurgensen, who was 28 years old like Ivy, and a sheriff's deputy wearing a blue-gray suit and tearing up with emotion at the sight of his bride. More than 300 guests had gathered for the wedding ceremony held in a backyard venue framed by Rocky Mountains and tall pine trees. From the green grass under Ivy's feet to the blue sky overhead dotted with wisps of white clouds, the day was picture perfect. For Ivy, this happy moment was hard won. She'd endured an almost unimaginably difficult childhood, having been abused by her father from a young age. At times, she wondered if she would always live in fear. She worried about her mom and her little brother and sister. She worried about her future. But she survived, in thanks to no small part to a large support group. There are a lot of people who have helped me get to where I am now, she says. In particular, she credits some special men who were always there for her, who stepped in as role models, friends, and surrogate family. I wanted to find a way to honor them. So he asked the men, all 15 of them, to give her away at her wedding. They traveled from near and far, and they had met Ivy at various points in her life. But they have two important things in common. They love her dearly, and she considers most to be father figures. Standing along both sides of the aisle, at Ivy and Tristan's ceremony were these men, all dressed in khaki pants and crisp white shirts. There was her funny high school English teacher and golf coach, who had let her eat lunch in his empty classroom when she needed time to herself. There were six former basketball coaches spanning her career in the sport from learning to dribble in the fourth grade to playing guard on a high school varsity team. There were relatives, her younger brother, future brother-in-law, and a maternal uncle, as well as the other uncles in name only, family friends who she considered kin. And there were her mentors, including a police officer who helped inspire her to escape the horrors at home. Every few steps she took toward the altar, a new pair of fatherly figures were on either side of her, taking her hands as she smiled at them tearfully. When the officiant asked, "Who gives this woman to be buried to this man?" a chorus of deep voices answered, "We do." Ivy was in the sixth grade when her father began molesting her while her mother was at work. He was also violent toward her mom and younger siblings. "We were in a constant state of fear," Ivy recalls. Some parts of her life seemed normal. She excelled at sports and she had friends. But behind the scenes, Ivy's father controlled everything. He blocked her access to the internet and cell phones. He limited the people she was allowed to talk to. He even dictated what clothes she could wear, banning anything too girly or tight. So she wore athletic wear. If she had to dress up for a school event, he would go shopping with her. But most of all, he warned her never to trust anyone, especially in law enforcement. Scared and isolated, Ivy kept the abuse hidden from everyone. Her father said that bad things would happen to Dad if she told. Despite those warnings, Ivy's managed to forge a meaningful connection with a police officer who worked at her middle school. Officer White, which is not his full name, of the Marysville Police Department. Ivy met White, a school resource officer, when she worked in the main office as a student assistant. White's office was next door, and they would often chat about sports, school, and whatever. One holiday season, the two engaged in a competition to see who could hang the most decorations around the school. It was a bit of fun in a childhood devoid of it. All those interactions began to add up for Ivy. Here was an adult she could trust. But if Ivy's father found out she was friends with a cop, she'd be punished. So she never let White in on her secret. The abuse continued until 2011 when Ivy was a sophomore. Her best friend realized something was wrong, asked point-blank what was going on. "I didn't know how to respond. I was scared," Ivy said. She was especially nervous because her friend's dad was a police officer. What might happen if she told? But life at home was unbearable. She confided in her friend who owed her own parents. The next day, a detective came to talk to Ivy at school. This detective asked, "What's happening? You need to tell us what's happening." And at that point, I'm thinking, "I've been told never to trust the police," she says. But all she could think was, "Am I going to keep living like this? Will I ever stop living in fear?" I knew the detective was with the Marysville Police where Officer White worked, and had always felt very safe with Officer White, she explains. With that connection in mind, she made the decision to reveal everything. I didn't know when my next opportunity would be. Soon after, Ivy's father was arrested by her friend, Officer White. Life improved after that, but Ivy still had a long journey toward healing. And that's when the men in her life stepped up. Money was tied in the wake of the arrest and her parents' eventual divorce. But one of her uncles was there to pitch in. He showed up at her basketball games, paid participation fees for Ivy's sporting events, and bought her dresses for senior homecoming dance and prom. And when Ivy and her family didn't feel safe in her home after her father was released on bail, the same uncle gave them a safe place to stay. While still in high school, Ivy testified against her father in court. After that trial resulted in a hung jury, she faced him from the witness stand in a second trial with the same result. After testifying in a third trial in the summer of 2013, her abuser was finally convicted and sentenced to almost 16 years in prison. Throughout all three court cases, her coaches showed up in the courtroom offering moral support. Having to recount the worst experiences of her life was excruciating. But looking out day after day and seeing a coach flash a reassuring smile or a quick nod made her feel less alone. "They heard everything," Ivy said of the men in their regular presence in court. "I don't know how they did it, but their presence got me through." And then there was a network of uncles who, after being kept away by Ivy's abuser, all reached out to Ivy and her siblings following his arrest and reentered their lives. There was her father's former best friend, now living in Arizona, and her mom's first husband and his two brothers. "It might sound kind of messy, but it's been amazing," Ivy said. "Our adopted uncles like to take us snowboarding or grab a beer with us and hang out. It just feels natural. They've just never given up on us." After her abuser was convicted, Ivy began to feel free in a way she never had before. She got her driver's license and a cell phone, and relished just being a normal kid, as she puts it. She ditched the baggy boys' jeans and T-shirts in favor of form-fitting jeans and colorful blouses. She wore makeup for the first time and played with various hairstyles. In short, she blossomed into a typical teenage girl. Intent on helping other silent victims of abuse, she began to sharing her story. The first time was as a speaker at a graduation at Lake Stevens High School in the spring of 2014, in front of a crowd of 6,000 people. School administrators had selected her to speak based on her academic and athletic achievement, but her speech quickly became personal. "There was this girl," she began. "She was manipulated at a young age. She could only wear certain things to school and could only talk to particular people. She was socially and culturally inept. Also behind the scenes, her father started to rape her when she was in the sixth grade. She did not know that what he was doing was wrong. Last summer, July 15th, her father was finally put into prison. Where is this girl now?" Her voice, strong and steady up to this point, quickened as she revealed, "She is standing before all of you. I am that girl." When her speech ended, the audience member rose as one, clapping and cheering their classmate. Encouraged by her reception, Ivy volunteered as a spokesperson for the Dawson Place Child Advocacy Center, a nonprofit that had provided her with free counseling and legal services. They also supplied comfort during uncomfortable times at the courthouse. During breaks, she would find Dawson Place staff members with therapy dogs waiting for her in the hallway. She'd cuddle with the dogs as if they were living, breathing, licking security blankets. After high school, Ivy kept in touch with Officer White and began dreaming about a career in law enforcement for herself. While working as a personal trainer at a gym, she befriended a juvenile correction officer named James, also not his full name, who encouraged her aspirations. "He said I would be a great first responder," says Ivy. That and officer's wife prodding helped push me in that direction. Soon, Ivy entered the police academy. As a result of all the support, Ivy is living a life she could never expected back in middle school. Today, she works for the East Wenatchee Police Department as a school resource officer, just like Officer White, who is now retired. She spends her days at Eastmont High making sure the school is safe and that the students always have an ear to bend. I hear about the breakups or the bullying, she says. Sometimes kiddos say, I need to talk to you about something. Can you pull me out of a class but make it for something else so that the kids don't know that I'm coming to talk to you? It's all about relationship building, so they know that we're always there, the same way Officer White and so many others were there for her. Because her offender was released from prison early, Ives does not want to identify most of her wedding escorts by name for their privacy and safety. But on Ivy and Tristan's big day, Officer White and James stood proudly among the 15 men lining the aisle ready to give her away. As the soft love song, You Are the Reason by Callum Scott played. At the look of the lyrics may give a clue why she chose that song. If I could turn back the clock, I'd make sure the light defeated the dark. I'd spend every hour of every day keeping you safe. Through the love and support of these men, as well as watching many of them raise their own daughters over the years, Ivy has gotten taste of what having a caring dad looks like, of what safe looks like. It's been like relearning what's normal, since my upbringing was not normal, she says. Ivy knows her walk down the aisle was unique, and that was by design. I'm okay with having our wedding be different, she says. I wanted to show Tristan that this is how much support I've had, and this is how much support we'll continue to have together. And there's a picture of her and Tristan. She's got a pretty smile, plain white dress, but very pretty. He's tall, has dark hair, cut almost in a mohawk, got a big scruff of beard. She has blonde hair. It's pulled behind her head. Very pretty couple. Between a rock and a hard place. Pinned by a giant boulder, a hiker had two choices, panic or gut it out. He did both. The Inyo Mountains rose dusty and jagged into a perfect blue sky as Kevin DiPaolo and Josh Nelson set off across the desert range. That corner of eastern California was DiPaolo's favorite part of the country, which was saying something because the 26-year-old had visited nearly every inch of the United States. Wiry and strong with blonde shoulder-length hair and his earnest way of speaking, the New York-born DiPaolo had spent his time since college in search of adventure, impatient for life experiences. For the last few years, he's been a nomad, living out of a tricked-out van in Christian Vanessa, while doing odd jobs and remote data analyst work from the road. He'd been up to Alaska and down to Florida, and crisscrossed the states in between. But something about that part of California where you could find both outdoor thrills and a little solitude amid the ancient mountains had always seemed special to him. Part of the draw was the friends he'd made there, especially Josh Nelson. The two had met a few years early in a coffee shop in the town of Bishop. The men had bonded instantly, and DiPaolo Nelson saw a kindred spirit, someone who wanted every ounce of adventure he could get. And in a 38-year-old Nelson, DiPaolo found an older brother figure, someone who taught him everything from rock-climbing skills to where to find deposits of crystals out in the mountains. That morning last December, DiPaolo was back in Bishop. He'd found a perfect spot to go rock hounding, searching for crystals and minerals, and now he wanted to show Nelson his discovery. Nelson was feeling under the weather, just getting over a cold, so DiPaolo shouldered most of the load, shovels, pickaxes, as they walked through the sandy gullies and scrambled over boulders. After about an hour and a half, they arrived at a rocky hillside spot. It was just as DiPaolo had said, a deposit of cool rocks buried just in front of a pair of enormous boulders. For almost 2 hours, the friends happily dug in the sand side by side, pulling out rocks of all shapes and sizes. At around 3 p.m., Nelson stepped aside to rest and enjoy the perfect 65-degree temperature, while DiPaolo continued to kneel, working away with a small scraper and a large hole they had dug in the sand. The boulder closest to him was slightly uphill, but it had a look of permanence to it, as if it hadn't bulged in millennia and wouldn't move any time soon. But here he was wrong. Whatever equilibrium the enormous stone had found over the years was slowly being shifted grain of sand by grain of sand as DiPaolo scraped away beneath it. DiPaolo sat up for a moment and turned away as he caught his breath. That's when he heard Nelson yell, "Look out, Kevo!" DiPaolo turned back, and in that instant the boulder lurched toward him and rolled, crashing him into him like a semi-truck and crushing his legs into the sand. But DiPaolo, now pinned to the ground up to his thighs, Nelson ran to grab the pickaxe and wedged it between the rock and the ground to keep it from rolling any farther. As DiPaolo bellowed in agony, the pain was extraordinary. It seemed to short-circuit his brain, the world becoming strange and dreamlike, while his body went into shock, adrenaline pumping through his veins. Am I really going to die like this, he wondered. He turned to Nelson and saw on his friend's face a look of fear that made him lose whatever composure he had left. You got to get this thing off of me, man, he yelled. I'm trying, said Nelson. The boulder was massive. It had to be between 6,000 and 10,000 pounds, and Nelson strained against it. He gave three enormous heaves, and on a final push, he was able to rock the boulder ever so slightly. It was enough that DiPaolo could feel his left leg, numb and limp, was almost free, only held in place by the material of his pants. He grabbed the scraper and began tearing through his pants before letting his leg out from under the boulder. With one leg freed, he could angle his body out of the path of the boulder in case it came tumbling any farther. But his right leg was completely irrevocably trapped, and his left leg had been blown open, the skin torn from the back of his thigh to his groin, with exposed muscles and arteries gleaming nauseatingly in the sun. As a veteran climber, Nelson had been in a few emergency situations before, but he never experienced anything like this. He could see that his friend's exposed femoral artery was damaged and oozing blood. He was terrified that DiPaolo would bleed out. Nelson double-wrapped the leg with a T-shirt and his sweater and applied pressure. He then tried his cell phone. Miraculously, despite being in the middle of nowhere, he got a signal. He called 911 and told the dispatcher where they were. The dispatcher stayed on speakerphone with them, urging DiPaolo to stay calm. Nelson started digging beneath the boulder, hoping to shift it enough to free his friend. But DiPaolo felt the boulder shift above him, bearing down on his leg even harder. The dispatcher yelled at them not to dig any further. There was no escaping. The only thing to do was to stay put and hope that a rescue team could reach them in time. DiPaolo kept asking his friend, "Am I going to die?" Nelson shook his head. "You're not going to die, man." He couldn't tell if he was convincing or not. He didn't fully know if he believed in himself. But he knew that staying calm was the only way his friend was going to make it out alive. Corporal Victor Lawson of the Inyo County Sheriff's Office was supposed to be enjoying a day off, but when you're the search and rescue coordinator in a part of the county where hikers and mountain climbers often get into trouble, days off are never guaranteed. Lawson, a longtime climber, leads a crew of highly skilled volunteers, many of them dirtbag climbers, who spend every possible waking moment in the mountains and who want to put their experiences and ability to good use. When he got the call from dispatch, he jumped on the computer to find DiPaolo's whereabouts. Using his mapping software, the two hikers were miles from the nearest road, too far for his team to carry DiPaolo. He would need to be hoisted out by a helicopter. The New County Sheriff's Office doesn't have its own aircraft, but over the years, it has developed relationships with a number of nearby organizations that do. Lawson's first call was to Davil Air Weapons Station, China Lake. But as bad luck would have it, they were repairing their helicopter that day. The next call was to the Hylophony Highway Patrol and its Inland Air Division operations, but unusually, they weren't available either. Lawson put out a call for the rescue team to meet at Posse Hut, the garage filled with gear where his team planned their missions. As he drove there, he racked his brain. It was now 3:15 p.m., but in the dead of winter, it wouldn't be light for long. Who was nearby who could bring a helicopter out into the mountains and had the capability to hoist a person out in the dark? Any kind of intense rescue mission would take hours, and Nelson and DiPaolo's were miles off track in steep, rocky terrain that was difficult to reach. And a dispatcher on the phone had made it clear. DiPaolo needed help soon, or he would die. On the side of the mountain, the hours passed slowly. The boulder hadn't just crushed DiPaolo. It had knocked over almost all the water they'd been carrying. That left with just about one cup of water, which the two men rationed carefully as the hours passed. DiPaolo was wavering between moments of calm and moments of absolute panic. The two men would sit in silence for minutes at a time. DiPaolo listened to the sound of the wind and trying to work himself into a zen-like state before the reality of the situation would force his way in and he'd scream out again. Occasionally, Nelson would walk a few steps away to confer with the dispatcher on the phone. But whenever he was out of sight, DiPaolo would yell for his friend to return. At one point, he asked for Nelson's hand. He squinted as hard as he could, then bit it, the crazed act of someone in desperate pain. Around 4:30 p.m., the sun was setting. The pair heard the distant whir of a helicopter. It came closer, and soon they could see its lights swooping over them. DePaulo's heart leaped. "They're going to save me," he thought. The helicopter was from the Central Division of the California Highway Patrol, which had called Lawson saying they were available. They flew a reconnaissance flight over the area, sighted the two men, and headed to the trailhead where they would pick up some of the rescuers who were still driving toward the mountain. But the two men didn't know any of that when the aircraft circled them and flew off again, leaving them alone and once again in the silence. It felt to DePaulo as though his chance to be rescued had disappeared over the hills. Night comes fast in that part of the country in December, and the temperatures swing wildly in the desert. As the sun went down, temperatures plunged to near freezing. DePaulo began to shiver, every spasm sending an excruciating current of pain through his body. Nelson gathered all the clothing he'd brought in his backpack, rain gear and sweaters, and piled them onto his friend. Then he collected wood and built a small fire, keeping it stoked while the two of them waited under the black, starless sky. DePaulo focused on the glow of the fire, keeping his mind on that little patch of light amid the infinite darkness. At one time, DePaulo asked Nelson to call his mom. If he was going to die, he wanted to speak to her one last time. Nelson refused. "You're not dying on my watch," he said. About 8 p.m., 5 hours into their ordeal, DePaulo looked up to the hills and saw glowing in the distance the beams of a headlamps from the search and rescue team, descending to meet them. The first pair of rescues had come by foot, driving to the closest spot they could find, and then hiking in. With their enormous packs and heavy tools, making their way over the steep terrain in the darkness was treacherous. Each hill they crested presented them with a new predicament, trying to navigate the huge boulder fields or trudge through the loose sands. No much later, the next pair of rescuers, the ones who had rendezvoused with the helicopter, showed up. The pilot could only find a landing spot about a mile away from the site, so they arrived from the opposite direction, facing similar difficult hiking collections. Finally, seeing his rescuers face-to-face allowed DePaulo to relax, if just a bit. The team took stock of the situation, and EMT took DePaulo's vitals, attaching a pulse oximeter to his finger. Despite the incredible damage to his legs, he was stable. Nelson's rudimentary first aid had done this job. Meanwhile, the other rescuers were working with purpose. One of the men positioned a high-lift jack, a tool used to lift off-road vehicles, under the boulder. Others drilled into the rock, pounding a bolt into the stone with a rock hammer, and attaching a carabiner, which is then attached to a rope and pulley system, tethered to a larger boulder slightly down the hill. In careful coordination with two other men holding DePaulo under his armpits, the rescuers used the pulley on the jack to inch the rock off his leg. DePaulo could feel the pressure lessening. He watched in wonder and terror as the boulder rose upward, thinking that one crawled move and he would be crushed. The rescuers tugged him by his armpits, trying to free him, but his ankles were still caught. "Is your foot free?" they asked. "No, no," yelled DePaulo. Finally, on the third heave, after he'd been trapped for 5.5 hours, they managed to pull his leg out from under the boulder. The rescuers transferred DePaulo to a light stretcher called a litter, and he laid there still in agony. He realized he hadn't thought beyond this moment. He had imagined that once he was out from under the boulder, everything would be fine. But that was not the case. The rescuers patched him up and tried to keep him as comfortable as possible. Then they delivered more bad news. It was too dangerous to take him off the mountain in the dark. They were staying put for the night. Back at the posse hut, Victor Lawson had not given up on getting DePaulo off the mountain that night. The best bet was by helicopter. But the helicopter crew that had transferred the rescuers didn't have training for a nighttime rescue at high altitude, nor did anyone else he contracted. But he put in a call to the California Governor's Office of Emergency Service, and they had turned called the Naval Air Station Lemoore, about 100 miles away. The copter there was willing to try the dangerous maneuver. Just after midnight, DePaulo once again heard the sound of a helicopter blades whirring. The aircraft hovered above them, the force of its rotor spraying DePaulo with small rocks and debris. Then, like something out of a movie, a Navy medic descended on a rope from the sky. "I'm going to strap you to me, and we're going to go straight up in the air," he yelled over the roar. Just like that, the medic clipped DePaulo's litter to his harness, and the two men were rising, DePaulo lying on his back and swinging unsteadily as he rode 10, 20, 30, 40 feet in the air. Before he could freak out, rescuers aboard the helicopter hauled him in, and then he was off, the aircraft veering over the mountains toward the hospital in Fresno. Their doctors present him with good news, bad news scenario. First was bad. He's broken his pelvis in two places, and he had a lot of dead tissue on his leg from where the boulder had struck him, and that tissue needed to be removed, and he had so damaged his femoral artery that it would need emergency surgery. The good news, they were hopeful he'd recover. After several hours of surgery, plus 9 follow-up procedures over the months to remove dead tissue, change the wound vacuum, assisted closure, and add skin grafts, and months of rehab, DePaulo was healing, and his doctor expected a complete recovery. With the road ahead looking brighter, he looked back upon that day, not with anxiety, but incongruously with a profound gratitude. He thought about his friend, Josh Nelson. They spoke on the phone just about every day in the aftermath of the accident. "I told him I love it, and I'm so thankful for him," says DePaulo. He thought of the search and rescue team, who were inspiring in their skill and toughness. Thought about the helicopter pilot, the doctors and nurses, all these people who had used their abilities and knowledge and care to save him when he couldn't save himself. It wasn't just that he was grateful to them. He wanted to emulate them. Throughout his early 20s, as he traveled the country in search of adventure, he'd also been searching for something else. "I've been looking for a kind of purpose in my life," he says. "Now I wanted to give back like them. Maybe as a firefighter, an EMT. He wasn't sure exactly, but the path forward seemed clearer than it ever had before. Before any of that, though, he needed to heal physically and spiritually, and to do that, he needed to get back into nature. And one day in late March, just 3 months after the accident that nearly killed him, DePaulo found himself out in the California wilderness once again. The trail he'd chosen was at Millerton Lake near Fresno, where he'd been recovering and going to physical therapy. It was an easy 3-mile loop to Pincushion Mountain, not much more than a hill, really, by his old standards. As he walked, though, his heart pounded and his lungs ached. He could feel every individual muscle in both damaged legs straining. At one point, he had a sudden fear. "Have I made a commitment my body can actually handle?" Then he took another step, then another. He would go slow, but he would keep going. And there's a picture of him lying in his hospital bed with his thumbs up, his knuckles bruised, and he celebrated Christmas 2023 while recovering in the hospital. Good-looking young man. And with that, let's roll over into Consumer Reports. Let's do something a little more mundane than mountain climbing. We were talking about pillows last week, and one of the things that's kind of important about pillows is not just the pillow itself, but the fillings. You can find pillows with most of the popular fillings in our ratings, which we're not going to look at particularly. Each type has a distinctive feel. Polyester is lightweight and plush, while solid slab memory foam pillows can feel weighty and firm. Down is soft and fluffy, latex is springy and a little bouncy. The feel is really a matter of personal preference, says Angela Holliday Bell, MD, a certified sleep specialist in Chicago. She advises back sleeper to pick a medium firm material. Latex, memory foam, or a down alternative will often fit the bill. Stomach sleepers may prefer more compressible feelings like feathers or down. Side sleepers can benefit from a firmer memory foam. Also consider breathability, how the material will allow moisture to dissipate, washability, how supportive it is, whether it's asthma and allergy friendly, prevents accumulation of dust mites, and how well the material contours your head and holds its shape. Polyester is one of the most common type CR tests and is often the least expensive. But polyester pillows are typically less supportive than other types, and they don't hold their shape well, and they accumulate dust mite allergens at a rate faster than feather pillows. Most are machine washable, though. Memory foam. They're showing a shredded picture here, and slab-style options both conform to your head and hold their shape well. Many are very supportive. They're less likely to trigger allergies than some other materials, but they can trap heat, and they aren't easy machine washable. You can wash the cover if it's removable. Spot clean the foam inside. Latex. You'll see natural and synthetic options, but both are generally considered asthma and allergy friendly. Unless you have a latex allergy, then you're screwed. They tend to be quite breathable. A good choice if you sleep hot. They contour your head and they hold your shape well. Latex pillows should only be spot cleaned. Down and feather. Usually made with goose or duck down, these pillows are quite soft and fluffy, but can easily get flattened with use. Be prepared to fluff regularly. Though quite breathable, the feel can trigger symptoms in those with an allergy to down. Most down pillows are machine washable. Buckwheat. This feeling is breathable but noisy. You hear a rustling sound as the pillow moves. It conforms your head and neck and holds its shape. The pillows aren't particularly allergy friendly, and cleaning them takes some effort. You have to remove the holes from the casing and air them in the sun and wash the casing in cold water. That's a lot of work. Kapok. This feather-like fiber made from the seed and bound pods of the kapok tree is a vegan alternative to down. Kapok-filled pillows are breathable and tend to be soft. Some research suggests that they may accumulate dust mites faster than memory foam. They don't hold their shape very well, so they're best for stomach sleepers. Spot clean the cover. Water-filled. These customizable pillows let you adjust the firmness by changing how much water is in the inner removable bag. While water fillers do conform to the head well, they're also prone to leaking. Avoid them unless advised by a medical professional. The pillow cover is usually machine washable. Good picks for better nights. It's easy to choose a great pillow that matches your sleep needs. If you wake up hot and sweaty, Ghost Bed Shredded Memory Foam Customizable, $109 for a two-pack. If you like something firm, Avocado Green, Latex and Kapok, $129. If you want something soft and squishy, Resthaven Memory Foam, $25 for a two-pack. Shopping for a pillow. We recommend heading to a walk-in store. Take a tape measure to help you find choices that fit your sleep style. Many mattress showrooms offer pillow fittings where you can lie down with the pillow much as you would while mattress shopping. Sales associates in stores like Mattress Firm, Savada, and Sleep Number, all of which sell pillows, can help you check your alignment and provide recommendations. For the most accurate pillow test, try to lie on a mattress similar in firmness to the one you have at home. Before heading to a store like Home Goods or Target, you can do your own assessment. Get a sense of how thick your new pillow should be to offer proper support. You can experiment with pillow or even folded towels and measure the most comfortable thickness. Pillow packaging usually provides measurements and levels of firmness, but terms like firm and medium firm are not standard. Do a quick squeeze check test to check the firmness. Place the pillow on a flat surface and compress it to about half its original thickness. The more pressure you have to apply, the firmer it is. Next, fluff to see if it returns to original shape. Finally, look for indicators of quality. Neat stitches, straight seams, and piping on the cover. If you can't get to a store, there's some advice for buying online. Look for a generous return policy. Many brands offer the option to try a pillow at home before deciding to keep it for the long haul. A trial period of 30 days or more is ideal. Read the description carefully. This is where you'll find details about the filling type, loft, washability, and any certifications. Pick a pillow you can customize. Adjustable pillows allow you to remove, sometimes add, and reposition filling to fit your needs. Manufacturers typically include a guide to instruction for each sleep style. How much does a good pillow cost? Great news. CR's pillow testing shows that expensive doesn't always mean better. You can find a supportive, high-quality option for far less than a premium price. For a pricey pillow, the Tempur Cloud Breeze Dual Cooling for $150. Scored a 72. It's from a famous brand and is very supported for side sleepers. But this gel memory foam pillow is also just so-so for back sleepers and not very breathable. The Dreamy Pick Weekender Gel Memory Foam Pillow, $32. Scored a 78. Our top gel memory foam pillow is not quite as good as side sleepers as a Tempur-Pedic, but its breathability and price make it a solid choice. And then they have a whole bunch that run down here. Coop Sleep Goods for $75, Sleep Number for $140, Ghost Bed for two-pack for $190, anywhere all the way down to IKEA, Ludotreva High for $28, and MyPillow Premium for $50, although I think they're on sale for $25 now. How to care for your pillow. And this is important. Use a pillow protector. These zip over your pillow, protecting it from dirt and damage. Look for one that's certified by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation America, which means it will keep dust mites at bay. Fluff daily and air monthly. Fluffing restores a pillow's shape and removes dust. Each month, hang it outdoors for a few hours, ideally on a bright, breezy day. If that's not possible and your pillow is the type that doesn't fluff, foam for example, run it through the dryer on a no-heat or air fluff cycle. Number 3, wash at least twice a year. First, check the care label for machine washable pillows. Use the gentle cycle and a little detergent. For flab-style foam pillows, vacuum the surface and spot clean with a damp cloth and mild detergent. Number 4. Dry it well. Make sure your pillow is completely dry or you risk it getting mildew. Dry for at least an hour on low heat, without heat, for down or feather pillows. Add a few dry towels to speed things up and 2 clean tennis balls or dryer balls to keep the filling from clumping. Lay foam pillows float flat to dry or hang outside. Now the next article is for you youngins who don't want to get old like me. 7 anti-aging supplements to try. We all want to sleep better, maintain strong muscles and bones, and keep our hearts healthy. Here are some supplements that might help, and ones that probably won't. Melatonin to help you sleep and Prevagen to keep you sharp. Fish oil for your heart and probiotics for your gut. In ads and on social media, we're always hearing about supplements that might help us think more clearly, have more energy, and just feel better at any rate as we age. But are any of them actually worth taking? While the claims for many supplements go far beyond what's been proved, some may indeed help you fend off illness, stay strong, and even look good. That's partly because some people have restrictive diets that make it hard to get enough of certain nutrients from food, or have conditions that prevent them from absorbing enough key nutrients. And just getting older can trigger the need for supplements. For one thing, we become less efficient at absorbing some nutrients as we age, says Joel Mason, MD, leader of the vitamin and carcinogenesis team at Gene Meyer USDA Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University in Boston. Plus, some of us eat less just as our bodies need more certain vitamins and minerals. For example, our ability to generate new bones slows with age. So if you don't consume enough dairy when younger or you don't eat a lot of it now, you might need extra calcium or vitamin D to protect your bones. It's best to get nutrients from food. It contains a mix of vitamins, minerals, fiber, protein, and more that no supplement can match, says Joey Mason, chief of preventive medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And supplements can pose risk, including potential interaction with medications. So talk with your doctor before taking a new supplement. Still, even people who eat right can occasionally need something extra. Here are 7 supplements that can help some people strengthen their bones, improve their sleep, protect their heart, and more. We also offer advice on the right dosages, plus tips on vetting supplements. Key point. Choose products such as those highlighted on the following pages that have been verified to be free of contaminants and contain what their labels claim. Finally, we identify 3 supplements you probably shouldn't bother taking. Okay, this is a long article. 7 supplements that kidder. Number 1, calcium. Strong bone builder. Why it's important. The most abundant mineral in the body, calcium is primarily stored in your bones. If you don't get enough in your diet, your body will start taking it from your bones, resulting in heightened risk of osteoporosis. Calcium also helps your muscles to move effectively, your blood vessels to send blood throughout your body, and your nerves to send messages to control important bodily functions, such as release of hormones. Who should take it? Starting at age 65, women should be screened for osteoporosis. If it turns out you have weak or brittle bones, your doctor will likely supply medication and recommend a calcium supplement. You might also want a supplement if you have early signs of osteoporosis, especially if you don't consume many dairy products because you're lactose intolerant, you're a vegan, or you just don't like dairy. In fact, any postmenopausal woman who doesn't regularly consume dairy products should consider supplemental calcium. Most other women, and most men of any age, don't need calcium from pills. Too much increases the risk of kidney stones and possibly heart disease. How much do you need? Everyone ages 19 to 50 and men between 51 and 70 need 1,000 milligrams of daily calcium. Women between 51 and 70 and everyone older than 71 needs at least 1,200 milligrams. For context, there are about 300 milligrams of calcium in 1 cup of skim milk, 173 milligrams in a single-serve container of non-fat Greek yogurt, and 245 milligrams in a cup of cooked spinach. When choosing a calcium supplement, consider how much calcium you get from food. Then look for one that gets you up to the amount recommended for your age and gender. Supplements with calcium carbonate tend to cost a little less, but those with calcium citrate are a good choice if you take medications to decrease stomach acid, like heartburn drugs. For the calcium picks, they give Nature Made 500 milligram with calcium D3, $11.99 for 130 pills. Kirkland Signature from Costco, 600 milligram calcium with D3, $13.99 for 500. Collagen for skin and joint health. Why it's important? Collagen is a protein that helps form connective tissue, including skin, bones, cartilage, muscles, ligaments, and tendons. The body makes less of it with age, leading to sagging skin and osteoarthritis. So maintaining adequate levels is important. Collagen is abundant in red meat and red meat, and eggs, dairy, and poultry may help the body produce its own collagen because the protein in these foods can be broken down into the amino acids your body needs to make collagen. Who should take it? While most Americans consume more than enough protein, shortfalls become more common with age as your protein needs increase to counteract muscle loss. In fact, research suggests that close to half of all older adults get much less protein than they need. How much do you need? The average adult needs 36.36 grams of protein per pound of body weight, or 54 grams for a 150-pound person. For context, you get about 50 grams when you add up 3 ounces of chicken breast, 5.5 ounces of Greek yogurt, and a half cup of white beans. But older adults, about 50% or more, or about 75 grams a day for a 150-pound person. If you have trouble getting that much from your diet and have arthritis or worried about wrinkles or sagging skin, which we all are, I think, a collagen supplement is worth considering. Pay attention to the type of collagen in your supplement. Type 1 collagen is used for skin health, while type 2 is the main constituent of cartilage, so it's used for joints. Type 3 is found in the skin and internal organs. A 2018 of 64 women found that taking 1,000 milligrams of type 1 collagen improved wrinkles and skin elasticity, and 40 grams of type 2 collagen helped reduce symptoms of osteoarthritis in a 2016 study of 191 middle-aged people. The collagen picks are Walgreens Ultra Collagen plus Vitamin C for $19.99 for 90 count. For Garden of Life grass-fed collagen peptides, $46.99 for 19.7 ounces. Fish oil for your brain and your heart. It's important. Why it's important? Fish oil contains omega-3 fatty acids called EPA and DHA, which your body needs to form cell membranes throughout your body, especially in your eyes and brain. They can also reduce triglycerides, the type of fat in the blood linked to heart disease. Who should take it? People who don't eat at once 1.5 servings of fish per week could consider a fish oil supplement could turn EPA and DHA, especially if they are at higher risk of cardiovascular disease because of high blood pressure, obesity, or a family history of heart disease, Manson says. A serving of fish is 2 to 3 ounces, about the size of a deck of cards. That could lower the risk of heart disease and help prevent dementia or Alzheimer's disease, research suggests. Anyone who has survived a heart attack or has been diagnosed with heart failure may also benefit, according to the American Heart Association. That's me. How much do you need? The research on supplements reducing the risk of heart disease or Alzheimer's disease generally used a gram of EPA or DHA a day. If you have a history of heart attack or stroke, or at a very high risk for them, your doctor may suggest a prescription omega-3 pill, which come in higher dose and be covered by insurance. Manson says, for people who don't eat fish, Matthew Badgett, MD, a physician at the Cleveland Clinic in North Ridgeville, Ohio, recommends a plant-derived algae oil supplement due to its similar omega-3 content. Taking either form with meals, he says, can help absorption. Fish oil picks are pure Alaska omega, wild Alaska salmon oil, 1,000 milligram soft gels, $25.82 for 180 count. Nordic Naturals Algae Omega 715 Soft Gels, $28.99 for 60 count. Ooh, that's expensive. Nature Made Fish Oil 1,000 milligram Soft Gels, $14.89 for 90 count. Can you take too many vitamins? Intentionally or accidentally, taking doses of vitamins that are higher than a tolerable uptake level can cause uncomfortable and even dangerous side effects. For example, high doses of magnesium can cause diarrhea and gastric cramping. And large amounts of nutrient called choline can result in a fishy body odor. Excessive calcium can impair kidney function, and toxic amounts of vitamin D can increase the risk of heart arrhythmias. The risk of adverse effects is higher with what's called megadosing, which involves taking much more than a recommended amount. While megadose amounts aren't officially established, Usually it's a dose much higher than people consume in food, says Feng Fong Zhang, MD, chair of the Division of Nutrition and Epidemiology and Data Science at Tufts University in Boston. Those doses often listed at 500% or 1,000% of the daily value can sometimes be found in widely available supplements. It is often assumed that water-soluble vitamins, which you excrete, don't pose the toxicity risk of fat-soluble vitamins, which your body absorbs. But even some water-soluble vitamins can be dangerous in excessive amounts, especially when taken for an extended period. When taking B6 in excess of 200 milligrams a day for an extended period of time, it can cause degeneration of the nerves and neuropathy, says Joel Mason, MD, at Tufts University. How about magnesium? Healthy muscles and more. Why it's important? You use this mineral to regulate blood pressure and blood sugar, make proteins, and ensure healthy muscle and nerve function. Low levels of magnesium may contribute to migraine headaches and muscle cramps. The mineral is naturally found in legumes, nuts, seeds, especially pumpkin, whole grains, especially quinoa, and leafy greens, along with fortified foods including cereal, milk, and yogurt. Who should take it? Badgett most often suggests magnesium supplements for people who have constipation, insomnia, or chronic migraines. But others might benefit because nearly half of Americans don't get enough from food. Men older than 70 are especially likely to be deficient, as are people with gastrointestinal diseases and type 2 diabetes. How much do you need? Men need 400 to 420 milligrams of magnesium a day, while women need 310 to 320 milligrams. 2 tablespoons of peanut butter has 54 milligrams. A cup of cooked quinoa has 118 milligrams. Research has found that forms of magnesium to dissolve in liquid may be more effectively absorbed in the body, so magnesium powder dissolved in a drink rather than tablets may be your best bet. There are different types of magnesium. If you experience side effects such as stomach cramps and diarrhea, with one type, try another. Magnesium oxide tends to be the least expensive, but it may be more likely to cause gastric side effects. Magnesium citrate and magnesium biglycinate are thought to be more easily absorbed. Magnesium picks, nature-made magnesium citrate, 250 milligram soft gels, $14.19 for 60 count. Kirkland Signature from Costco, magnesium citrate, 250 milligram soft gels, $22.99 for 270. And Thor magnesium bisglycinate powder, $48 for 6.5 ounces. How about melatonin? Why it's important. Melatonin is a naturally occurring hormone that helps regulate your circadian rhythm, the body's internal clock that tells you when it's time to go to bed at night or wake up in the morning. Your body releases melatonin as you approach bedtime to make you sleepy, especially if you manage to get plenty of daylight in the morning and avoid too much light at night. When you wake up, your levels of melatonin dip. Who should take it? There are certain uncommon sleep disorders in adults and children that are treated with melatonin. Beyond that, the supplement is best for episodic rather than chronic sleep problems, including periodic insomnia and jet lag. Many people take melatonin routinely before bed, but the evidence isn't strong enough to suggest it helps for insomnia that lasts longer than a month. In those cases, talk to your doctor or sleep specialist. Though taking melatonin is generally thought to be safe and doesn't usually cause dependence, its long-term effects are not fully known, especially in children. And it's not a magic fix. According to one 2013 analysis, people with insomnia fall asleep on an average of 7 minutes faster when they take melatonin. How much do you need? In the short term, melatonin can be taken as needed before bed, says Deity Conroy, PhD, Clinical Director of Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at the University of Michigan School in Ann Arbor. To match natural levels, you naturally start with a supplement containing a dose between 0.2 and 0.5 milligrams. Practically, however, doses starting at 1 milligram are more widely available in the UK. In the UK, where melatonin is available only by prescription, the country's health service recommends 3 milligrams as a treatment for jet lag. You should not exceed 10 milligrams. Choosing a product with a third-party seal is especially important with this supplement. A 2023 study found inconsistent melatonin levels in some melatonin gummies. Melatonin picks, nature-made melatonin gummies, 2.5 milligrams, $16.89 for 80. Amazon Telemans melatonin gummies, 10 milligrams, $7.99 for 60. Natural Fast Dissolves Melatonin, $13.98 for 150 count. Those Rx drugs and supplements don't mix. You've often been told to tell your doctor about supplements you're taking. And for good reason. Some vitamins, herbs, and other supplements can interfere with the effectiveness of medication. Others can dangerously increase the amount of a drug in your system. Remember, supplements are no different than prescriptions in their ability to interact with one another or medications, says Peter Cohen, MD and Associate Professor of Medicine at the Harvard Medical School of Boston and internist at Cambridge Health Alliance. It's important that whatever you decide to take, you let your prescribing doctor know to be sure there aren't any interactions or other reasons not to take it. Statins. The herb St. John wort, often used to help depression, can increase blood levels of statins, which are taken for high cholesterol levels. If you take this herb with certain statins, it may actually increase your cholesterol. Metformin. If you take metformin to treat diabetes, avoid St. John's wort, which may cause a buildup of metformin in your body that may interfere with your blood glucose levels. Antibiotics. Calcium, magnesium, and zinc can interfere with the absorption of some antibiotics, particularly tetracycline. So it's recommended that you take that antibiotic several hours before or after you take any of those supplements. Check with your prescriber for specific advice. Antidepressants. It may not be safe to take St. John's wort with antidepressants because supplements containing the herb can result in dangerously high levels of serotonin in your body. Same is true for serotonin-boosting supplements such as 5-HTP and SAMe. Blood thinners. It can be dangerous to take vitamin A, E, or K, which thin the blood, if you're already taking the blood thinner Werofen. Omega-3 fatty acids in higher than recommended doses, think 10 milligrams a day, could also be risky with blood thinners, says Matthew Badgett, MD, of the Cleveland Clinic. Vitamin C supplements may cause the opposite problem, making blood thinners less effective and increasing the risk of blood clots. Thyroid medication. The thyroid medication Synthroid, or levetiroxine, doesn't get absorbed properly if you take it with iron, magnesium, zinc, or other mineral supplements. Taking thyroid medication is directed by your health care provider, which typically means without another medication or supplement. Do you really need a multivitamin? Multivitamins are far and away the most popular supplement in the U.S., but there is a dizzying array of choices. In reality, the only people who clearly need a multivitamin are those with a problem absorbing food or on an extremely restricted diet, says Peter Cohen, MD of Harvard Medical School. But it's reasonable for some people, essentially anyone with concerns about whether they're eating healthy enough, eating enough healthy foods, to consider taking a multi as sort of his insurance policy, says Joanne E. Mason, MD, a Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School. You can also take a multivitamin rather than individual supplements if you have more than one special dietary need. For example, if you're vegetarian, your healthcare provider may recommend taking a supplement that contains iron, vitamin B12, and other nutrients commonly found in animal products. If you decide to try a multivitamin, be sure you find one that's certified by an independent party, such as U.S. Pharmacopoeia, USP, NSF International, or UL. Know your dosages. Read the ingredients label to make sure the nutrients meet the recommended amount and don't exceed the upper limits. Search for a DI calculator online to find a government calculator to help you find the right amounts of various vitamins and minerals from your age, gender, and size. Be wary of whole food claims. Some vitamins, often labeled whole food derived, claim to include nutrients derived from food rather than synthesized in a lab. But these ingredients still must be heavily processed to become supplements, and the source is not likely to make a difference in the effectiveness, says Joel Mason, MD of Tufts University. Instead, you may end up paying more for supplements no better than a cheaper one. Check the size of the pill. Multivitamins are often large enough, which can make swallowing them difficult for some people. Food and Drug Administration guidance says that generic medications meant to be swallowed should not exceed 17 millimeters long, but some multivitamins are longer than 20 millimeters and as wide as 10 millimeters. So check the size before you buy if you can. Check a general multivitamin usually contains ample nutrients to meet most people's needs, but Manson says it's reasonable to choose a multi-labeled as for women and for older people. These sometimes contain additional nutrients such as extra iron for women or vitamin D or B12 for older people. Well, we only have a couple minutes left, so rather than continue on with this, we'll finish this up next week. Meanwhile, ask our experts. I plan to sell my car in a few years. What do I need to do now? It's important to properly maintain your car and make sure that Carfax has a record that you've done so. This is helpful to shoppers, as noted in CR's used car buying guide, starting on page 50, which we look at, who want to confirm that the car they're considering has had key maintenance tasks performed, like brake pad replacements and oil changes via vehicle history report. To make sure your good car care habits show up on your vehicle's Carfax report, have the work done at a shop or dealership that's part of the Carfax service network. If your repair facility isn't in a network, recommend it to Carfax for inclusion. Now, how to clean the crevices in your car? It's easy enough to vacuum your car's interior and wipe down the smooth surfaces, but what about the gunk that gets stuck in the crevices? Professional car detailers use a dry brush to poke away at debris settled in upholsteries, seams, and wet Q-tips to swab dirt in a dashboard hard-to-reach recesses, said Michael Crossman, a mechanic at CR's Auto Test Center. Car detailing gel, a sticky putty that can mold into crevices, is perfect for cleaning residue from tight spaces like cup holders, Cruceri says. And a couple of giggles to close out. A customer in an Italian restaurant is so pleased with his meal that he insists on telling the chef personally. The owner proudly leads him into the kitchen. "Your pizza is superb," the customer told the chef. "I just spent a month in Italy, and yours is better than any I ever had over there." "Naturally," the chief says. "Over there they use domestic cheese. Ours is imported." Where were bobbleheads created? In the land of Nod. On a caving expedition, a man falls into a hole. His partner calls to him, "Are you hurt?" He yells back, "No." "How could you fall down that hole and not be hurt?" "Because I'm still falling." Fun fact, if Celine Dion sang only the vowels in her name, it would be called the lyrics to "Old MacDonald Had a Farm." Quotable quotes, "There is no arrival, only the journey," for Jalen Hurts, a football player. "To lead well, you have to care," Ava DuVernay, filmmaker. "I don't view each birthday as a lost year of youth, but a new stage of opportunity," Lynn Slater, a fashion icon. We didn't want to be a bunch of tough guys. We'd rather have bigger hearts than bigger muscle," Billy Joe Armstrong, musician. And with that, we've run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so very much for listening.